Morning, church. First, let me apologize if I have not been friendly enough today. I am working on getting over a cold, and so I'm trying to keep it to myself. God taught us to share in all things, but I think this is one thing I'll just keep for me, if that's okay. So as we continue in our study of Philippians, the last time we talked about how God wants us to continuously work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So Paul is encouraging us to take our faith seriously, to make it something we live out day by day, and something that we have a sincere and complete reverence in, that God has done so much for our salvation. And so as we continue on, Paul moves from there, from the idea of working out your own salvation, into what we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. He says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you shall shine among them like the stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Now, the first thing that we need to understand about grumbling and arguing is that they are the same thing. There is no difference between grumbling and arguing. The only difference is that when you grumble, you're doing it behind somebody's back. And when you're arguing, you're doing it face to face. And so I want to make that point clear, because what I'm going to focus on today is the idea of grumbling and how grumbling is something that is very pervasive in our society. It's something that we see on an everyday basis. And I would argue that grumbling is something that we think of as a lesser sin, right? It's kind of a lesser sin. You've got your big sins, and then you've got your lesser sins. And grumbling is one that I think we have a tendency to look at as a lesser sin. We look at it and we say things, "Oh, I'm just venting. I'm just venting. I'm not actually doing anything wrong. I'm just venting." Or, on a worse level, maybe even looking and saying, "Well, if they do it right, I wouldn't have to grumble. Right? If they just did it right in the first place, I'd have no reason to sit here and say the things I'm saying. So why don't they just do it right in the first place?" And so we excuse ourselves because we believe, hey, the person I'm grumbling against is doing it wrong, and therefore that's the reason why I have a right to complain. And I believe that God, in giving me this sermon, decided to do a few things in my life this week to remind me of how much of a grumbler I am. First off, he allowed me to be sick. I don't know about you, every time I get sick, my first thought, why me? Why do I have to be sick? Doesn't God know how much I have to do, how much I have to get done, how many things have to be taken care of? Why am I getting sick this week? I've had 2 weeks, restful weeks. I'm thankful to Art for helping me to set that up so I could have a couple weeks of rest and less responsibility. And then, bam, I'm sick. Really? It has to happen right now? Or at work. Frankly, there are decisions that get made at work that don't seem the best to me. And I look and I go, why? Why are they doing it that way? Shouldn't they do it this way? This would be best for everyone. And so grumbling becomes something that is almost second nature to us in our society. And it's something that we do in a lot of different areas. But I think the most dangerous of grumbling, and thus why we're going to talk about it, is grumbling against our leaders. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 12 through 19, it says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are set by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom to cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves, Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. And then in Hebrews 13:17, talking specifically about church leaders, the preacher says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so their work may be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." You see, the thing that we have to realize and we have to understand is that God placed leaders in the position that they were placed in for a purpose. Our leaders in our government were placed by the Lord to protect us. That's all the way up from the President of the United States all the way down to your local city council. They have been placed for a purpose. When we look at our work and our environment, God entrusted the people who are in charge of us to be our managers, to be the ones who oversee the work that we are doing. And in the church, God placed our elders in place to be the ones to ensure that the church is moving in the direction that God has placed it. And the fact is that when we grumble, when we as believers grumble, whether it's about our government, whether it's about our work, whether it's about the way things are going in our church, we are saying two very destructive things. Number one, we're saying that we don't trust God. And number two, we're saying that we are not thankful to God for the things that He provides for us. You see, when we don't trust our leaders who God put in place, we're basically saying, "I believe that I know better than God. I have more insight, more knowledge than God." And as we look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You see, when we start looking at the world around us and thinking that we've got a deeper knowledge than God, that is a huge, huge mistake. And a mistake that Job made. In Job 38, verses 1 through 11, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Job from out of the storm. He said, 'Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out the measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, and who laid its cornerstones? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in the thick of darkness, when I fixed the limits for it and set its doors and its bars in place, when I said, 'This far you may come and no farther, here is where your proud waves halt.'" You see, God is the creator of everything. Everything. All of us, all that's here, all of our universe, every aspect of what we live in was created by God. So where do we get in our mind that somehow we have a deeper knowledge? Where do we get in our mind that somehow we know better than what God knows? Do I get discouraged sometimes when I look at the people that are elected to be leaders in our country? Absolutely. Not going to pretend like that's not the truth. Do I look at the decisions that my bosses make and think to myself sometimes they could make better decisions? Absolutely. And I may not agree with every decision that gets made in the church. But the fact of the matter is that God, when he places people in charge, places them in charge for a purpose and a plan. Maybe as a country, we have come so far that we need to see wickedness for what it is, and so God is allowing it to be overturned in wickedness so that his righteousness can shine. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe my boss has a different perspective than I do. Maybe they see the big picture because they don't look at just what I'm doing. They look at what everything that's going on in the airport is going on. And maybe what I'm thinking doesn't work in the big picture. We don't always know or have the answers to everything. And so there comes a point where we have to step back and ask ourselves, do I trust God to lead in every aspect of my life? Do I truly, truly believe? Because as a Christian, when I put Jesus Christ on as my Lord and Savior, I said, I will trust in him to guide my life. And so Paul is saying, when you're grumbling against these people, when you're speaking poorly against these people, you are saying, I know more than God does. I have more knowledge than him. And to be honest with you, I can't think of anything that I could say that would be more foolish than to think that I have more knowledge than God. Amen? Right. The second thing we say is that we're unthankful for all the things that God has done through those he places in authority. Now, I watch the news just like you, and I look around America, and I see that there are bad things that are happening. But the reality is we live in a pretty safe place, don't we? For the most part, when we wake up in the morning, when we get dressed, when we go about our day, we don't have to worry about whether we're going to be shot. We don't have to worry about whether we're going to have enough food to eat. We don't have to worry about whether there will be clothes on our back, a roof over our head. We don't have to worry about coming here to church and worshiping God. We are truly, truly blessed. And it is God that provides these things for us. It's not the President of the United States. It's not our Congress. It's not our governors. It's not our local Congress. It's not our mayor. It's not our city council. He uses them to provide us with this safety. So when we start looking at these people and saying poor things of them, speaking poorly of them, running them down, running down their character, what we are doing as a people of God is diminishing what we have to be thankful for from the Lord, the things that he has given us. When we have this attitude towards our bosses, we're forgetting that God gave us a job. Do you know how many people in our country are looking for something, some way to provide for their family? And yet God gives us this job. He puts us in a place where we can provide for our family, where we can feed our children, where we can do the things that we need to do, and we grumble and complain about the work that we do. We have bad attitudes towards the people that are feeding our children. That is not God's way. Or when we are unthankful for our leaders in the church. And I'm not saying this is true, okay? I'm just saying it's something that we have to keep in mind. Because the fact is, our elders didn't structure our church. They didn't come in and decide, this is how we're going to do things. This was God's divine plan that our elders would be our leaders. It was the apostles who established making elders in every church. We see that in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. It was the apostles that taught that the elders were to be overseers, that they were to protect us from false teachers, to look after us and our well-being, to guide us spiritually through the scriptures, to be the ones that hold me accountable for what I teach up here on every Sunday. And we see that in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. So when we grumble against our church leaders, if we do, What we are doing is we are being unthankful for godly men that God gave us to help us to grow and to help to shape us into His image. It should be a joy to be a leader in the church. It should be an utter and complete joy. You should be thankful that God has given you the opportunity to help people to grow in their faith. And that only happens when people are not grumbling and complaining about what's going on. You see, we look at grumbling as a pretty minuscule thing, as people. Not a big deal. God sees it very, very differently. If you'll look with me at Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, through Numbers chapter 14, verse 4, it says, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they've explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those who live in it. All the people we saw there were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them.' That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.'" What did they forget? What did they forget? Did they forget the Red Sea? Did they forget God's provision of manna and water in the desert? Did they forget the fact that God, in leading them through Moses and Aaron, had brought them to this very place? And rather than being like Caleb and trusting in the Lord and saying, "Okay, God has done good things. I will trust in what God is continuing to do." What do? They grumble and they complain. Well, we see the outcome of this in Numbers 14, verses 26 through 35. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "How long will this community grumble against me? I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, 'As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In the wilderness your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more who is counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them to enjoy in the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in the wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community, which has banded together against me. They will meet their end in the wilderness, and here they will die." Think God takes grumbling seriously? Do you think it's a light thing? A minuscule thing? It was a choice that was made by the children of Israel to grumble and to turn against God. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul tells us that when we choose to give up grumbling and arguing, when we choose to quit fighting amongst ourselves, that beautiful things are going to happen, that we will become blameless and pure. Blameless and pure. He said, you will shine like the stars in the night. I want you to think about that. The stars are pretty amazing, aren't they? You ever gone up in the mountains at night, looked up at those stars on a bright, clear night, and just been in awe? When we let go of our grumbles and our complaints and our arguments against each other, and we hold on to the word of life, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and we let that be where we stand, when we recognize everything that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave for us, that he died for our sins, he was buried and he rose again, to put away enmity, to put away the separation that came between us and God. And we choose, through grumbling and arguing, to continue it, to make it stronger, the separation. I want to be like the stars. I want to shine. I don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. I want to let the Lord's word be the driving force. This is the voice of a father looking out for his children. Don't grumble and argue amongst yourselves. Find that blameless nature inside of you, the one that says, I love you too much to argue over things that don't matter. I love you too much to complain and fight with you, because I want what God has for me and for you. Brothers and sisters, peace comes when we let go of our petty grumblings and arguing, and we trust in the Lord and the power of his might. Because when we trust in our leaders, we're not trusting in men. We're trusting in the power of our Lord and Savior, who is in control of all things. Where is your trust? Who do you believe in? And if you do, let's put our hope and our faith in him and trust that whether it's our country, whether it's our job, whether it's our churches, that he will provide, that he will bring the right leaders, he will bring the people that we need, and that if there are leaders in any aspect that are not honoring him, that he will judge them, he will correct them. It's his. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Let's remember that we are to be a people of peace. I want you to think about this. If you go to work tomorrow and everybody starts grumbling about the boss, and you simply smile and say, I'm so thankful to have a place to be, what kind of impact do you think that's going to have on your coworkers? If you can look at your political leaders and say, you know what? I don't agree with what they're choosing to do, but I trust in the Lord and his ability to lead our nation. And we don't use mean words or angry, aggressive attitudes towards our leaders. What kind of impact do you think that would have on our community? Do you think people might be more willing to listen to what you have to say? And if we stand united as a church, trusting in our leaders, can you imagine what kind of a difference that could make for our community? Unity was Jesus' one true hope for his people, that they may be one as you and I, Father, are one. But that can't happen while we're grumbling and arguing. So I'm going to ask you to take this message with you this week. I'm going to ask you to trust in the Lord rather than having a heart of grumbling and dissent. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you now, and I just want to ask you today that you will soften our hearts. Lord, grumbling is such a prominent thing in our society, in every aspect of it. Lord, when people are so blessed as we are, we oftentimes forget to be thankful. We forget to recognize that all of the good things that we have are from you, that we are so fortunate to be your children, to be loved by you, to be blessed by you, that we can let little things stir up in our hearts to create grumbling and arguing. Lord, I pray that as a church you will bring us peace, that you will keep us as a people united, not looking at our differences and fighting about them, but finding our common ground, Lord, and finding ways to love each other more deeply. Lord, you called us to be a people of unity, and I pray that that's true of us today and every day. And I pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.